Westside Baptist Church in Newnan, Georgia, brings you our weekly podcast. We hope you will be encouraged by our music and a message from the Word of God as we present our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services and our weekly broadcast by Dr. Melvin Payne. We thank you for listening.
Amen. Let's stand. Let's sing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. Let's sing it out now. On first sing it. Amazing Grace. How sweet the Aren't you glad you're saved by the amazing grace of God? Say amen. 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 Oh, come on, you can do better than that. Say amen. 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 Amen.
There's a lighthouse on the hillside that overlooks life's sea. When I'm tossed, oh, it sends out a light that I might see. And the light that shines in darkness now, oh, will safely lead me o'er. If it wasn't for that lighthouse, my ship would be no more. And I thank God Jesus is the lighthouse, and from the rocks of sin he has shone the light around me, that I might clearly see. And if it was everybody that lives around us, well, they say, just tear that lighthouse down. Oh, the big ships, well, they don't sail this way anymore, so there's no use in it standing round. But my mind goes back to that stormy night, oh, when just in time, yeah, I saw the light, well, the light from that old lighthouse, and it still stands up there on the hill. And I thank God for the a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's vein. And sinners plunged beneath that flood. It didn't say we just lose a little bit of the guilt and the stain. It didn't say that it wiped away a little bit for now, but we had to keep doing this over and over and over, and we had to keep accepting that blood for once and for all. Saved to the end of time, washed completely away. Choir, sing.
Filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel. First off, I want to say I love the Lord, and I know that He answers prayers. I've been praying for a really, really long time for a niece that lives with me. She had been doing really good. She's really fallen. She's doing really strong drugs now. And I've always let her come back to my house. But I've had to tell her she can't come back. Evidently, I'm not the person that's supposed to help her. So I'd like for y'all to pray that God will send somebody to her, because if not, she's going to wind up dead. And I love her. So I want y'all to pray for her.
Oh,
like to introduce him to you. I wouldn't take a chance in this world to walk out those doors and count that I'll make it to come back to another church service. We never know what is waiting for us out there. Richard Lewis used to stand right back where Tanya's behind where she's sitting. And I've heard him stand and testify from that spot many times. Say, the gas may be in the hearse that's going to take your body to the grave. One night, he and his wife driving up the road, just going to see a movie at Union City. Guy got on the Fairburn exit on the wrong way. They met head on. And he and his wife went out. Didn't have any idea it was going to happen. Didn't have any idea or way to keep it from happening. Many of you have experienced that in your lives with friends, loved ones that have been just taken like that. If you're not sure today that you know, that you know, that you know, I'm not wanting you to doubt your salvation. I want you to know that you're saved today. Doesn't matter in this world what you have, where you live, the color of your skin. Doesn't matter anything. What matters is that you've accepted Christ as your Savior today. Wouldn't take that risk of walking out of here without getting that settled. Sing that "Wash On" message.
Washed all my sins away.
All of them.
A lighthouse on the hillside that overlooks life's sea. When I'm tossed, oh, it sends out a light that I might see, and the light that shines in darkness now, oh, will safely lead me o'er. If it wasn't for that lighthouse, my ship would be no more. And I thank God for the light. Everybody that lives around us, well, they say just tear that lighthouse down. Oh, the big ships, Well, they don't sail this way anymore, so there's no use in it standing round. But my mind goes back to that stormy night, oh, when just in time I saw the light. Well, the light from that old lighthouse, and it still stands up there on the hill. And I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him. For Jesus is the lighthouse, and from the rocks of sin He has shown a light around me, that I might clearly see. And if it wasn't for that lighthouse, tell me, where would this ship be? And He has shown the light around me, oh, that I might clearly see. And if it wasn't for the lighthouse, tell me, where would this ship be? Where would I be?
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's vein. And sinners plunged beneath that flood. It didn't say we just lose a little bit of the guilt and the stain. It didn't say that it wiped away a little bit for now, but we had to keep doing this over and over and over, and we had to keep accepting that blood for once and for all, saved to the end of time, washed completely away. Choir, sing.
To see that fountain in
We'd like to introduce him to you. I wouldn't take a chance in this world to walk out those doors and count that I'll make it to come back to another church service. We never know what is waiting for us out there. Richard Lewis used to stand right back but where Tanya is behind where she sit. And I've heard him stand and testify from that spot many times. I say the gas may be in the hearse that's going to take your body to the grave. One night he and his wife driving up the road just going to see a movie at Union City. Guy got on the Fairburn exit on the wrong way. They met head on, and he and his wife went out. Didn't have any idea it was going to happen. Didn't have any idea or way to keep it from happening. Many of you have experienced that in your lives with friends, loved ones that have been just taken like that. If you're not sure today that you know, that you know, that you know, I'm not wanting you to doubt your salvation. I want you to know that you're saved today. Doesn't matter in this world what you have, where you live, the color of your skin. Doesn't matter anything. What matters is that you've accepted Christ as your Savior today. Wouldn't take that risk of walking out of here without getting that settled. Sing that wash on my sin.
Washed all my sins away.
All of them.
Read it, brother. Go ahead.
This song has been on my heart for the last couple weeks. And we used to sing this all the time when I was a kid at church. But this song was one of the last songs that the Spear family, Dad Spear, wrote. This is the last song he ever wrote. Great song, Heaven's Jubilee. Oh, what singing. Oh, what shouting. He wrote all them songs. But this one, he wrote these words. Listen to this. And this is me, testimony. All right. God's amazing grace sent down from heaven rescued me from death and shame. He opened up my eyes and brought salvation. Now I'm his. Praise his holy name. Now listen to the second verse. 'Tis so sweet just to know I have Jesus with me. Woo! Amen. He will keep me from sin and from strife. He delivered me from condemnation. Now I have eternal life. And the chorus goes like this. Now I know that he is mine and I am his forever. He is leading me along the way. He'll behold, I'll hold to his hand when I cross death's river. He will take the death to sting away. I'm so glad that I have a God that's holding. Not that I'm holding on to. I'm glad that he's holding on to me.
Amen.
Now I know that he is mine and I am his forever.
Amen.
If you know that, y'all know that song. Miss Glenda, give me A flat. Let's sing it. Now I know that he is mine and I'm his forever. He is leading me along. He'll be holding to my hand when I cross death's river. He will take the sting of death away. Can I do the second verse? 'Tis so sweet just to know I have Jesus. He is with me. He me from sin and from strife. Oh, he delivered me from condemnation. Now I have eternal life. Sing it now. Oh, now I know that he is mine and I'm his forever. He is leading me along life's way. Yes, he'll be holding to my hand when I cross this river. He will take the sting of death away. I just had to testify.
Amen.
Amen.
We can handle that kind of testifying, can't we? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, you welcome to turn there if you'd like. I'm going to start reading immediately in Matthew chapter 26. We go to the old story of a man who betrayed our Lord and our Savior. He paid the ultimate price. And it says this in Matthew chapter 26, verse 47. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he, hold him fast. Forthwith, he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them, which were with Jesus, stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father? He shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels. But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it may be? Ladies and gentlemen, if you've been to church very often, you know the story. One of the disciples betrayed Jesus. His name was Judas. And of course, he was paid off with 30 pieces of silver to draw Jesus, he thought, into a trap. But blessed be the name of the Lord, their trap, they thought, was pre-planned and laid out by God himself ages before. There was no trap. There was no surprise, because this plan had been spoken of in the Old Testament hundreds and even thousands of years before this thing was settled in heaven. I thank God that he's in control, ladies and gentlemen. He is in control. But what a beautiful word that is said here when Jesus said to Judas, Friend, a friend that walks closer than a brother, a man that was deceiving, he thought, that was deceptive and trying to hurt, maim, and to kill. An evil, wicked man carrying out an evil, wicked task. And yet Jesus looks at him and calls him friend. I'm so glad that before Altamidget was born, before you knew me or I knew you, before I was even thought of, that Jesus Christ called me friend. Then we take from this something else, and then we'll move along. We find here that Peter becomes upset and angry at the situation, and he steps in. He is motivated. He believes by righteousness. He thinks he's doing right. So he stands up for Jesus, and he defends our Lord with his sword. Cuts off one of the servants of the high priest. Cuts his ear right off. And what does the Lord do? He says, stop it. Don't you know I've got this thing under control? I can handle it. If I want to, I can call and thousands of angels will rush to my rescue. Peter, I don't need you to defend me. I can take care of myself. I want to say to you, I was mentioned Wednesday night. I was watching an interview with Bill Maher. He's a God hater. Hates God and hates Christians. And I was watching him talk about God and demeaning and blaspheming our Lord. And I tell you, the defensive blood in me began to boil and get angry. And I was saying, God, why don't you let a bolt of lightning come flying through that TV studio and just kill that man dead? And the Lord says something like this to me. Don't you know that if I want to, I can call on 12 legions of angels? They'll come down here and mop Mr. Bill Maher up like a mop. They'll sponge him up, squeeze him out, and that'd be the end of him. But I tell you, I want to say, Christians, as a side note to this message, God's in control, and he can defend himself. You know, I think it's good that we get a little angry when we see our God verbally abused and shown absolute disrespect by a lost person. I understand that we love our Lord, and if we love him, we become defensive. But we've also need to remember this, that God's in control. And if God wants to, he can end it all. And one day he will. He will end it all. He will, if I may say, call on those 12 legions of angels. He will step forth on the cloud. We will meet him in the air. Then one day, beginning the millennial, he'll step down physically on this earth of ours. I'm telling you, he's in control today just as much so as he was in control here in Matthew chapter 26. He's in control. Don't you get faint-hearted. Don't do something careless or silly like Peter did. You just stay faithful. Remain true. Trust in God. He'll take care of the details. He's a big boy, if I may say. Then we flip to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders, when the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Now listen what happens here. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver of the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. He had betrayed the innocent blood. I know there has been a debate over the years whether or not Judas was saved. I know some good men that believe he was saved, and I know some good men that do not believe he was saved. What I'm seeing here in this passage is that Judas repented. But if you continue to read, you find that he was speaking to the elders and the high priest. He was speaking to the wrong person. He directed his repentance into the wrong direction. Many people are directing their repentance into the wrong direction. They repent their sins to a priest, whether it be through Catholicism or Buddhism or one of the other many isms and schisms that are out there. They're repenting, they're confessing, but to the wrong entity. I believe with all my heart, in spite of all the wickedness that this man had done, he would have directed his repentance to Jesus. Jesus Christ would have stepped in and swooped that man up in love and salvation, and forgiven him of his sins. But he didn't do that. Judas repented unto the high priest and the elders. He said, I've sinned that I had betrayed the innocent blood. And you know what they said? What is that to us? They didn't give a rip. They could care less that they were sending the innocent blood to the cross. They could care less. We go, oh, that's evil. All that's wicked. But Christians, just like the lost high priest and the elders, we fall into the trap where we could care less. Well, preacher, are you going to accuse me? No. I'm going to ask you, how many people did you invite to church this week? Well, I care. How many people did you tell about Jesus this week? Well, I care. Well, how many gospel tracts did we leave on the table when we left the restaurant this week? Well, I care. How many tears did we shed for a lost and dying world this week? I care. How much time did you spend on your knees praying for your man that stands in this pulpit? Well, I care. How much time last night did you spend asking God to blow through the auditorium at Westside Baptist Church that we could experience renewal, a revival, a breath of fresh spiritual air? Well, I care. Then answer the question. If you can't say I did, you can't say I shed tears, you can't say I've had a burden, I've had a concern that's driven me to my knees, may I say with love that we have fallen into the same sense of evil complicity that the high priest and the elders fell into that day. It was a satanic movement that blinded them to what was going on. And likewise, oh Christians, we fall victim to the satanic movement that seems to remove and dull our senses to the things of Christ. And the very things that concern Him no longer concern us. May I say, how many times in our action, how often with our attitude of complacency, are we truly saying, what is that to us? By the way, that's not my message. That's just a little on the side. Yesterday, we went over, watched a ball game down in LaGrange. I went up to the stand, and I said, food, in their little stand where they sell food. I said, give me some chips and nacho cheese. She said, "You want extra or just the stuff that comes on the side?" I said, "I'll just take the stuff that comes on the side, that little pocket on the side." Well, what I just gave you was a little on the side. But nevertheless, I believe it's applicable to we that are here this morning, speaking of the Christians. But I love what this man, Judas, said. He said, "I have sinned. I have betrayed the innocent blood." Don't you believe that this man that was hypercritical, yes, even of Jesus Christ, remember when the woman presented before the Lord the expensive perfumes and the people in the room and Judas Iscariot became offended because she took such a product that was of great value to break it and pour it upon Jesus. He became offended. Can you believe that? A man that said he was a disciple got angry because somebody was anointing Jesus, the Creator, Jesus, the future Savior. He was a, and all of a sudden, I mean, he walked with Jesus. He knew Jesus day in and day out for 3.5 years. If there was a fault in Jesus, this man would have found it. And not only would he have found it, but he would have spewed his poison all over to all that would hear him. I'm talking about Judas, this wicked man. And yet, he has to declare, "This man, Jesus, I've offended, I've defied the innocent blood." He said, "The perfect blood, the holy blood, and I have offended this blood." I tell you what, he was a wicked man, but he had walked with Jesus, and he knew Jesus was holy. I was looking in Mark chapter 14, verse 24, Luke chapter 22 and verse 20, and John chapter 6, verse 54 through 56. Jesus Christ, now remember, I'm talking about the innocent blood. Jesus refers to the innocent blood 5 times in the Gospels. 5 times, the number of grace, he refers to the innocent blood as my blood. Not my blood, but Jesus referring to his blood as my blood. And then we find, praise the Lord, our Lord tells us that if we partake of my blood, meaning his blood, then we that dwell in him and he dwells in us, if we partake of his blood, or what he called my blood 5 times in the Gospels. Then the innocent blood is also referred to after the Gospels as his blood. In Romans 3, 24 and 25, it says this: "Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood." The propitiation is referring to an appeasement through his blood. During the Old Testament, they'd kill the lamb, and they'd take the blood, and they'd sprinkle it on the mercy seat. And that was an appeasement of God's wrath for a year upon those people. And I thank God that one day on Calvary's tree, he sprinkled his blood, and he not just appeased the wrath of God for a year. The appeasement was forever and forever and forever. It was the final sprinkling of the blood that ever took place. What blood? The innocent blood. His blood is the appeasement of God's wrath on you and me. In Romans 5, 9, much more than being now justified, what does it say? By his blood. And his blood, we shall be saved. Saved from what? The wrath through him. The wrath that we would have experienced from God the Father because of our sin has been extinguished because we have been justified. I was looking at that word justified. One of the great meanings means this: pronounced, one to be just. Pronounced, one to be righteous. Pronounced, one such as he ought to be. You may look at me and I may look at you and say, that preacher, he's not what he ought to be. But I want to tell you, I'm saved. I'm born again. And with this salvation came justification. And in the eyes of God, I'm what I ought to be. Because he shed his blood. Ephesians 1, 7, first part of that verse says, in whom we have redemption through, guess who? His blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace, in whom we have the redemption through his blood. I like this word redemption. One of the definitions that tickled my soul was we have redemption through his blood, meaning we have liberation through his blood. We have liberation procured by the payment of a ransom. Did you hear that, ladies and gentlemen? We are justified. We have redemption. We are redeemed. We are purchased. Ladies and gentlemen, by Jesus Christ, not only did he pay the ransom, he was the ransom. Say, well, preacher, what about this thing called salvation? Well, let's move on. The innocent blood, Jesus calls my blood, meaning his blood, in the Gospels five times. Then we find after the Gospels, many times, his blood is mentioned as his blood. But the innocent blood, speaking of these things, also speaks of commitment. 2 Corinthians 5:19, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed, listen to this, hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. And you know what that word commit it means? It means that God hath put in us the word of reconciliation. Not only do we trust the word, not only do we believe the word and accept the word, but he has put the word in us. I tell you, this innocent blood speaks of this commitment. But I tell you, this innocent blood was different blood. Well, how was it different? Well, I want to say this to you. First and foremost, it was different in that it was a heavenly blood. The blood came from the Father, the Heavenly Father, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. It was not a blood of this world. But I want to tell you, it was a different blood in that, what we just spoke about, it was different in that it was and is innocent. Don't you understand? He didn't have to do what he did. We were on our way to hell and deserved to go there. But the innocent blood, that committed blood, that different blood stepped in for you and me. Something else about this innocent blood, it was a given blood. Hey, it was Jesus on the cross that lifted his voice and said, "It is finished." It was Jesus that finished it. It wasn't the Roman soldier. It wasn't Pilate. It wasn't Herod. It wasn't those that were going to come around and break his legs. It wasn't Caesar himself. But it was Jesus that said, "It is finished." His death was not demanded. It was volunteered. And he finished it, ladies and gentlemen. It was a given blood. It wasn't taken by force. There's no one, no entity that has that power. It was a given blood. And I want to tell you something else about this innocent blood. It was a blood of purpose. So what is that purpose? Well, that purpose comes from Romans chapter 5. It says, God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, here it goes, Christ died for us. Hey, does it bother you? Does it bother you to hear the blessed story of the salvation of God? Does it? If it bothers you, if it bores you, you need to check up on yourself. If I hear it today, tomorrow, and the next day, 1,000 times over, I'll raise my hand and praise. Tears at times will fall for joy because of this wonderful salvation. There's a purpose, and the purpose is that he loved us. I'll tell you one last thing about this innocent blood. This innocent blood also has an effect. You know what that effect is? It settles it. God finished it on the cross. Then he raised up 3 days later. Then 40 days after that, he ascended into heaven. I want to tell you that Jesus finished it. He finished it. That settled our overdue account. He finished it. That settled our past due account. He settled it. It took care of the overdrawn account. He settled it, and it took care of the delinquent. He settled it. He settled it. He settled it all through his innocent blood. That's our Jesus. Oh, folks, I wanted to preach a message this morning. 16 ways you can build friendships. Seven new ways you can beautify yourself. But the fact of the matter is, we just have to be. I'm going to tell you what I was. the other night, Lisa and I went somewhere to a very worthy cause. But they began to sing. And when they began to sing, they were singing this song. And they sang this, "At last, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a sinner as I?" There's a problem there, folks. And I want to say this. I understand that the hymn book is not the Bible. And I'll tell you this. They had changed the words from worm to sinner. Something that's just a little more palatable. The fact of the matter is, the worm is a biblical term. And God put that in there for a reason. And I believe it was there that we may get a visual of what we are compared to God's righteousness. Can I ask you a question? Has anybody here ever been fishing? I remember years ago as a little kid, we lived on the coast, and we went fishing. We fished with little chunks, initially, of shrimp. That's what we fished with. You know what happened? Shrimp became too valuable. Price went up. So the next step is Dad started using squid, and we put the squid on that hook. You know what happened? Squid became valuable and expensive to fish with. So you know what we reverted to? Worms. You say, "But preacher, I heard worms are full of protein." Well, you eat them. I'm not. Bible tells us that hell's a place where the worm, the sinner, dieth not. You think about it. We walk over worms and we don't even recognize that they're under our feet. The other day I was out in the driveway and I noticed a worm had crawled out of a hole somewhere, gotten halfway across the driveway, and baked in the sun. That little fella was all squiggly, but he was flat and he was dry. Do you think for a minute I stopped my world? Do you think I went and grabbed a shovel and made a tombstone for this worm? No, you know what I did? Got the blower out, blew it off somewhere. Worth. Stick it on a hook. It loses some of its guts. Do you care? No. It's a worm. It means nothing. He died for a worm. We can paint ourselves up pretty. We can say, "Well, I'm moral. I'm a good man. I'm a good woman. I'm a good boy. I'm a good girl." I don't care how moral we think we are. Our righteousness compared to God is nothing but filthy rags. And that rag is so filthy and so grotesque that I will not describe it from this platform. It's bad. It's ugly. It's grotesque. Without Christ, our righteousness is as filthy rags. There's nothing good in you. There's nothing good in me outside of the Lord Jesus. Can I share something with you? And I'm going to close. Recently, I heard a testimony of a man by the name of Bill Stay. If you have a chance, pull it up and about a 10-minute testimony. I won't take 10 minutes. Bill Stay, in the mid-70s, ran the largest illegal drug distribution in the United States of America. He was a many times over millionaire. He had his son had been kidnapped. He paid ransom, got his son back. His wife was murdered by another drug lord. Then he went to prison. And there, he was there for life. It looked like he was going to get out early or get out, period, because he had money and was able to pull strings and so forth. But God changed all that through a process of events I will not go into. He realized that. He became so angry. He determined in his heart that he was going to kill the first man there in the prison yard that he came across. But he said this. The problem was, the first man I came across when I stepped out into the yard was Jesus. He said, and I couldn't kill him because they've already tried that and it didn't work. He ended up going to the library, and there he found a little Bible. And he took that, what he thought was against policy, and hid that Bible and took it back to his cell. Listen, he began to read that Bible. And Bill was born again in that jail cell. He became a Christian. He began to study the Word. He got his bachelor's and master's and two doctorates while in prison. He got out of prison. And he said, Lord, I believe you want me to go into evangelism. He said, and I was going all over the place, and I'd preached to five here. He said, one time I went into a meeting. There were 25 people there. He said, I thought I was in a mega church. He said, Lord, I want to do a little more for you. What's holding me back? And listen to this. He said he was at the house, his apartment. The phone rang. And it was a man by the name of Reno, a man that was a lieutenant in his drug ring when he was doing drugs and his drug organization. He said, Bill, I'm down at the counter, the restaurant on the corner. Would you come and meet with me? It turns out that Reno was the man that took part in the assassination of Bill Stay's wife. He said, and all the hate that I had in me began to well up in me. He said, if I could just get to Reno, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill him if I see him. But God worked on Bill from the apartment to the corner. He said he opened the door, and there sat the man, Reno, that was one time one of his lieutenants in his organization and had put the hit on Bill's wife. And Bill sat across from him, and Reno said, Bill, something is different about you. He said, I've never been able to figure you out. In the past, I've looked in your eyes, and I've seen nothing. I've seen nothing. He said, but I'm looking in your eyes, and there's something different about you. Bill told Reno how Jesus had transformed him while he was in prison. After that meeting, Bill didn't kill Reno. Bill walked out. He said, I was on cloud nine. He said, I knew I was in the will of God. He said, from that point, my ministry took off. He said, I've been busy for 30 years now. I haven't looked back. But here is the second part of that. Reno, the man that had Bill's wife killed, had heard the gospel. He heard about the innocent boy. And it began to work on him. And a couple years later, Reno broke down and went to church. And there he surrendered his heart to Jesus Christ. And the man that once had Bill's wife murdered, amen, was washed by the innocent blood of Jesus Christ. If the innocent blood can take a wealthy drug lord and wash him and cleanse him from all unrighteousness, if he can take a man like Reno with the blood of a man's wife on his hands and wash that blood off with the innocent blood and save him from all unrighteousness, he can do the same for you and me tonight, today. It's just that simple. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Are you washed with the innocent blood this morning? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I want to ask Brother Dave, if you would lead us in that song, Nothing But the Blood of Jesus. Say, well, that's not much of an invitational song. Maybe not, but I'm running the service, so that's what we want to do. The innocent blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you from all unrighteousness if you'll let him this morning. Let's stand, please. Have you been washed by the blood today?
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood.